chapter 10. We've been talking about finding good pastures. Jesus is the shepherd, we are the sheep, and he has a plan for us to go through the gate, Jesus Christ, his life. And he said, and I will show you there, through me, you will find good pastures. So let's read this text, John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Message Bible says a life, real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And friend, let me tell you, if you are still considering the claims of Jesus, if you are still considering whether you really want to follow him, let me tell you that what Jesus said is the truth. Through him and with him, he has more life and a better life than you could ever imagine. The greatest deception in the world is that there is a better life outside of Jesus. And I know there are people that are very convinced of that. And they're convinced for a variety of reasons, but Jesus told the truth. Amen. How many of you Christians can say it's a better life? Amen. All right. And so we must believe and have firmly in our heart that there in our life and in our heart, there is more and a better life through Jesus. And we find pasture and we experience the life that we have through our shepherd. Amen. The Message Bible says, anyone who goes through me will be cared for. You see, there is a caring shepherd. There is a shepherd who loves you and who knows you and wants to be real in your life. Now, today we want to look at a role that Jesus has as our shepherd and the role that we have as a sheep. And how many of you know one of our roles is to eat the green grass? Right? So if he leads us to the pasture, then he wants us to be eating. So that's a part of our role. But a very big part of our role is that as sheep, we are to be following the good shepherd. All right, look at the first part of this text that we read in verse 3. It talks about Jesus, the shepherd. It says he calls his own sheep by name. Aren't you glad that if you're a new member, he didn't have to ask you what your name was. He knows your name. All right, with Jesus, we don't have to wear a name tag. Hi, my name is Walker. He knows us. He knows not just all the hair on our head. He knows each one by number. You know what that tells me? He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Amen. Every hair on your head, whether it's real or not, he knows those hairs. If it's on your head, he knows those hairs. Amen. Hallelujah. So he calls his own sheep by name, and what happens? And he leads them out. He leads them out. So he is leading us. Please note that it doesn't say he is dragging them out. All right? He doesn't give them a tranquilizer and we fall asleep and then he carries us out against our will. No. He leads us out. So if he's leading, what are we doing? We're following. He has a role and we have a role. He brings them out. So his position is because he is the shepherd. Our role is to recognize his position and then we are to follow him, all right? Now, please realize that there, when he is leading us, he is, it's more than just, you know, giving us sweeties and tickling us, all right? He's got places, and we're going to see what some of those places are for us to go to. All right, look at verse 4, all right? It says, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. Everybody say ahead. All right? He walks ahead of them, and they follow him. So he is ahead, and we are following him. So if he's ahead, where do our eyes need to be? On the other sheep? No, because they really don't know where they're going, do they? Our eyes are on Jesus, and that's what the author of Hebrews said, didn't he? Or her. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Could have been a lady. All right. That's true. All right. So he is leading, and we are following. He goes before us. So meaning that where he goes, we go. And so every morning and we wake up, we say, hey, Jesus, where are you going today? I'm hanging out with you. All right. So where he goes, we follow. So what are some of the reasons why we follow the shepherd? Because after all, how many of you know, as sheep, we've got this sheepish quality that Isaiah told us about, that sheep like to go astray. They like to follow their own path, okay? So it is possible for sheep to not follow the shepherd. So why should we follow the shepherd? Well, I think first and foremost, and arguably the biggest reason is he cares. He cares for us, right? No one loves us like Jesus. No one cares for us like Jesus. And if he cares for me more than anyone in the whole wide world, why would I not follow him to wherever he wants to take me? Because he loves me. Secondly, and we didn't read this in this passage, but if you look at the very next verse, John chapter 10, 11, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. All right, so he is a caring shepherd, and he is a good shepherd. And in that text below what we read, the demonstration of his goodness is that he sacrifices for us. He sacrifices for us. Now, depending on what families that we grew up in, you may have been in a family where maybe people didn't necessarily sacrifice. Maybe you grew up as a stepchild. And we know that sometimes, sadly, that's the case. And if you have had a stepmom or a stepdad, sometimes the blood brothers and sisters, they ate better than you. They had a nicer bed than you. They went to a better school than you, right? And so you were kind of like a second-class kid, all right? But some of us grew up in homes, or we've seen where parents sacrifice for their kids. They go without so that their kids can have something better. And most parents, you don't even know that they did it, because they don't want a gold medal, because they're good and they're caring and they sacrifice. And I'm so thankful that we can be parents like that and we can live like that. But what Jesus did to sacrifice his life literally was a sacrifice. He died for us. He laid down his life. And in that text, he said, nobody takes my life. All right, don't get mad at the Romans or the Jews. You know, people say, who killed Jesus? Well, Jesus offered his life in by the will of the Father. All right, so he is a good shepherd because he sacrifices for the sheep. He says that the hireling, somebody who's just in it for the money, when the wolf comes, they're gone. Goodbye. Paycheck isn't worth me dying. I'm out of here. Okay? But he is a good shepherd. So we follow him because he cares. We follow him because he is good. But something else in this text we see is that we need to realize, folks, that every other path other than the path of Jesus leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. And one of the things we've exhorted you at Miracle Life for years and years is read a proverb a day. All right? And so if it's the 22nd, read Proverb 22. And one of the things that you realize about Proverbs is it's a giant road map. All right? It's a spiritual Google map of life. And it tells us, here's where this path leads to. So, you know, married guys, you see that cute girl? And she's saying, come over here. Well, her steps lead to hell. Note to self. Say no thank you. Don't go near, what does the Bible say? Don't go near her house. All right? So we have to be convinced and know that not only does the shepherd have a good path because he cares and he's good, but all these other paths are going to lead to harm and destruction and ruin for our life. Amen. Folks, please, 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 don't find out for yourself. Okay? I would imagine that I could pass the microphone around and pretty much every warning of the Bible that we see about this path, don't go on that path. There's somebody in this church that could testify that is a bad path. Here's the scar. Here is the disfigure. Here is the hurt that I went through. Here are the consequences that have happened in my life and the loss. And some of that loss is not coming back. Amen? All right. So every other path other than our shepherd's path leads to destruction. Amen? What this text also tells us is that the sheepfold, the pasture that Jesus has for us, you know what we are? When we're there, we're safe. We're safe. There is a place where we don't have to worry, where we can rest, where we can sleep, where we can have the life that he's promised for us because he is looking out for us. We're safe in the shepherd's care. Amen? And really the last reason, and it's a big reason, because after all, how many of you know all these other things are, they're really beneficial to us, aren't they? He cares, he loves, he keeps us safe, keeps us from destruction. But did you ever have them? I had some parents that this was the response sometimes when I would say, hey, I want to go on this path. No, you can't go on that path. No, you can't do that. Well, why? Kids love to ask why. All right, did you ever have a parent tell you this? Because I said so. You don't need a reason. I'm the parent. You are the child who sleeps under my roof and eats the food that I provide for you. And so I said so because that's my position. All right? Right? Okay. So why do we follow the shepherd? Because the shepherd said so. Because he is the shepherd and you are not. You are not. There is someone in the universe who is sovereign and it is not you. Oh, I tell you, I think that one of the biggest problems of 2017 all over the world is we have decided to be God. We're going to change the rules. We're going to make it up. We're going to decide what to do. All right? And Jesus is our Savior, so he paid a price. He sacrificed for it. But he is our Lord. All right? I truly believe if Jesus was here on the earth, he would have, if he was preaching in the Luangwa Valley instead of the Jordan Valley, all right? He would have said, I am the big Buana. All right? Have you noticed that the term that is used more often in the Bible for Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is his name, all right? Jewish, we've been Yeshua. Christ is the position, Messiah, the anointed one. So Jesus, that's his name. Christ, that's his role, okay, of what he came to do. But he is Lord to us. He is the Lord of our life. And friend, please just realize that it is not within your prerogative to have the shepherd give you green grass and then you to go do your own thing. He is not a waiter. He is not the emergency number to call. So you live your own life, doing your own thing. Oh, I got a trouble. Jesus, come shepherd. You're following him every day and in every moment of your life. So we saw last week, we are the sheep of his pasture. All right, so the pasture that we're eating from, it belongs to him. Paul made this point with the church of Corinth. And when he was imploring them to glorify God with their bodies, okay? And you know, I know in the world today, you know, my body. Well, it certainly is your body in that it's not someone else's, right? It's not your abuser's body. Amen. So if there's an abuser, call the police, right? Or go get a cricket bat and smack him in the face. Protect your... Amen. Amen. Do I have to tell you the story again how I taught my little girl to punch men in the face when she was 5 years old? Yeah. Hallelujah. Anointed. Okay. So yes, we protect our body. But Paul made this statement. He said, your body is not your own. Your body is not your own. Why? Because you were bought at a price. Someone paid for you. I'm not talking about Lobola. Someone paid for you. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. So therefore, what's the conclusion? Well, I'm not my own. My body doesn't belong to me. Who does it belong to? It belongs to God. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore what? Glorify God with your body. Glorify God with your body. With your body. Amen. Well, my body's my body and I'm going to do it. My body belongs to God. So here is the manual for how I glorify God with my body. Amen. What I do with it, where I take it, what it looks like, what I put inside of it. Amen. So we glorify God. All right. So he has a claim on us, the lordship of Jesus. All right. So folks, listen to me. Asking for the shepherd's blessing when you refuse to follow him is a rejection of biblical Christianity. Let me say that again. Asking for the shepherd's blessing when you refuse to follow him is a rejection of biblical Christianity. I know it is a version of Christianity that we have today. You want to get married? Type amen. Yeah, for real. Type amen. Typing amen is not following Jesus. Amen. I got miracle money. I claim miracle money. You don't need miracle money if you're a thief and a liar. And you act foolish with your money? Amen. You need to be born again. Follow the shepherd. And you know what? When you follow the shepherd, there's green grass. There's provision for your life, including your financial life. Following Jesus. Following him. Amen. So, how do we follow Jesus? All right, because the disciples literally followed him physically. So if he says, we're going to Bethany, we're going to Bethany today, right? There's no committee meeting about it. We're just going to Bethany. And so where he is, I'm there, right? And if he says, I'm going to the mountain and, you know, you three come and you guys stay, that's what the shepherd has decided. Okay, so how do you and I in 2017, Jesus is in heaven, how do we literally follow the shepherd? All right, there are two primary ways that we follow the shepherd. Number one, we follow his word. We follow his word. Jesus said, if you love me, don't sing a song and put a bumper sticker on your car. If you love me, obey what I say. Obey what I say. Okay? So we know his word, we understand his word, and we live our life by the word. Now, that is why, folks, if we are following the shepherd and we have some other ideas and the world is pulling us this way and some other friends are pulling us that way, that is why it is so, so vital that you read and study and know the word of God for yourself. For yourself. You know, the Bible that we have today that we just, you know, carry to church with us, do you know that people died to get it to us? They died to get it to us. And I know there's been seasons of my life in Christianity that while I had a relationship with God, my Bible sat on my shelf, I'm not proud to say this, but for months at a time. And the only time I opened it was when the pastor at church said, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. You know, and then he says, turn to Habakkuk, and you're really in trouble, aren't you? You know, because you don't want to go to the table of contents, right? You turn there, and the pages are stuck together because you've never been there before, okay? Come on, right? So, it's good. Bring a Bible to church. Bring a Bible to church. Let me say, bring a Bible to this church, but please, if you visit other conferences, you better bring a Bible to that place. Okay? Yeah, especially if it has the name Fire or... And it could be awesome and it could be very beneficial, but please, bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible to meetings. Somebody at church, one of our young people posted this video, and this guy, he gets up on, he says, whenever God wants to do something in your life, he sends you a prophet. Are you kidding me? That's not in the Bible. That is so unscriptural, it's ridiculous. But some people are like, oh yeah, that's right, he sends me a prophet. No. That's not how God wants to bless your life. That's not when he wants to work in your life. You have faith in your heart to trust God. There's one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have to know the word of God for yourself. If you're married, do you know the marriage scriptures? Do you know them? Have they? And here's the other thing. And I know husbands, we know the wives submit. Now, you do understand, husbands, that, and I'm a husband, but for us to know the scriptures about wives submit is if that's like if we work at a company and we're an accountant and we spend all of our time with the job description of the security guard. Because it's not our responsibility. Okay. Wives, do you know the passages about your job description? He doesn't love me. 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 Well, that's why Paul said, husbands, husbands, and all the wives are like, yeah. We're not talking to you right now. Don't barge in on the men's conference. Okay? Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Okay? So we've got to know, first of all, we've got to know the word of God for ourselves. If you are an ignorant, illiterate, biblical Christian, you are in trouble. And in 2017, you're in really big trouble. Okay, because there's 500 satellite networks that are all going to tell you something to do. Okay, and you can navigate your life by the Bible. So we read the Bible not to check off something on our list and to say, I'm being disciplined today. Well, it does take discipline, all right? But we're reading to understand. We're reading to obey. We're reading to change our mind, to renew our mind. We're reading, the Bible says that the Word of God, it's like the washing of the water of the Word. How many of you grew up in a home where you didn't even think about eating without washing? I mean, you would just feel so weird if you couldn't wash before you ate, okay? Well, we live in the world. We live in a dirty world, okay? Are we washing regularly, okay? And there are Christians, because of their not really, their aversion to the Word of God, okay? And again, if your Bible is just sitting on your shelf for 3 months, without being crude, we can tell there's an aroma about you of your spiritual life. Yeah, because you haven't washed regularly. Amen. All right, so we read the Bible to know it. We read it to understand it. We read it to believe it. All right? And then ultimately, we read it to do it. Okay? It is a guidebook of life. It is not a book of poetry. Blessed are the meek. The church I grew up in, and it's a today there's great things happening in that church, but the guy, my pastor wasn't born again. All right, he was not born again. He wasn't, okay? And so going to church was kind of like going to a poetry reading, you know. Blessed are you, and blessed are you, and blessed are you. I just feel blessed, okay? I'm not reading the Bible to be inspired, okay? I'm reading the Bible to understand it, to get it in my head, all right? I'm reading the Bible, and when I read the Bible, I repent. It means I change my mind, and then I do what the Bible says. All right, so we follow the shepherd by obeying his word, all right? And friend, let me just, I would just plead with you. Man, love your Bible. Respect the Word of God. Respect it. All right? Brother Hagin told us this story one time. He was talking to a pastor, and they were talking about something in theology and everything. And Brother Hagin kept turning to Bible passages. And this guy got so mad. As a pastor, he slammed the table. He said, "Bible or no Bible, this is what I believe." Now, you know what? He articulated it, and it makes for a funny story, but sometimes that really is how we live our life. Bible or no Bible? This is how I roll. This is how I saw it. This is how I do it. Husbands, love your wife. Sacrifice for your life, for your wife. So that means you never harm her physically. You never harm, when my dad, my uncle, the Bible says that your uncle and your dad were wrong. And they may have paid for your tuition, and you may have their surname, but you need to follow the shepherd of your soul. Amen. Jesus doesn't smack us in the face. Amen. All right. So we follow the shepherd by following his word. And we follow the shepherd by listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So when Jesus went away, he left his Holy Spirit with us. All right. And so every born again believer has the Holy Spirit abiding, residing, and living within their heart and their life. Okay. So the one who wrote the Bible, all right, the Holy Spirit. So I don't know about you, but do you ever see the Bible? You read a passage and you kind of go, "Oh, that seems hard." You ever see that? Right? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain glory. And I'm thinking, nothing? Not even like one or two things, please. Right? The Bible says nothing. So we read that and it doesn't necessarily bless us. We're like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." All right, well, here's the really great news. Is the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible, okay? They were breathed, okay? God breathed, and they wrote the Bible, all right? He is the one who helps you to live the Bible. right? Every other religion, they've got a book, all right? They've got a black book, and there's stuff in the black book to do, all right? Every religion in the world has it, and do it. And every religion finds out, that's really hard to do, okay? Well, Christianity is different because the God who gave us the Bible lives on the inside of us to help us live the Bible. All right, so the Holy Spirit is called a number of different things in the Bible. So he's called our comforter, our helper. But one of the things he's called in the book of Hebrews is the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. So grace is God's ability that helps me to do things that I can't do on my own. Right? So the Holy Spirit enables me to live the Word of God. So he will lead me in obedience. All right? So the Bible says that it is he who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the more you hang out with God, the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, your desires begin to change. All right? I've said this before, but I smoke all the marijuana that I want to. I drove by the Green Party the other day, their car, you know. I wondered if, you know, I checked. The window was down. I didn't see any smoke rolling out of the thing, okay. So I don't want to smoke marijuana. I don't smoke marijuana. Why do I not smoke it? Well, Jesus said don't do it. Okay, I really, really, really want to. But he said not to. Right? So I just get near other people who are smoking it and I, you know. No. Your desires change. What you want to do changes. I love my wife because I want to. I want to. Most days, I want to. Okay. And on the other days, I say, Holy Spirit, come. What was the song we sang at offering? Fire, fire, fire. Right? And my wife, right? Honor your husband. Some days she's like, oh, Jesus. Help me. Well, guess what? He does help you. He helps you. He's the helper. He's the equipper. You're not on your own. Amen. There is an internal power. There's a leading. All right. And just in the course of the day and the financial decisions that you make and where you, who you associate with and where you work and all the decisions, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Now, the Word of God will inform you. But then the Holy Spirit will tell you, that's bad news. Well, it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look sinful. It's not against the Bible. This is a better path. So we learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So those who are the sons of God, the children of God, are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8. Okay? So where is he leading us to? Where is he leading us to? I want to look at three things before we go. So, we've kind of already seen this, but he is leading us to a place of provision. A place of provision. And please understand that that is more than money. Please understand that it does include money. All right? And so, there are multiple promises in the Bible that he will take care of us. He will look after us. But there, how many of you know we have more needs in our life than just what money can buy? Okay. And so there are people that really they can't even count their money, but they are very needy people. All right. And so Jesus wants to be their shepherd as well. So every need of our life, he is the one who provides. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew 6. Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things will be added to you. What are the things that you need for life? All right. And everything that we need, we find in Jesus. We find in his ways. We find in his pasture. Okay. Number two, he is leading us to maturity. He's leading us to maturity. The disciples, when Jesus said, follow me, one of the things that they understood was not just that I'm joining the club Jesus, was that he is the rabbi, and so this was in the Jewish mindset, he was the rabbi, I am the Talmid, T-A-L-M-I-D. So I'm the disciple, I'm the learner. And it wasn't just to get a degree from Jesus Academy. Okay, and today a lot of our learning is a Western-based learning where we sit in a classroom and there's a dissemination of knowledge, okay? So how many of you know that you can sit in a classroom but you don't really become who the professor is? Okay, so when Jesus calls his disciples, he it wasn't like, let me give you this information. You are to become like me. The Talmid becomes like the rabbi. And so when we follow Jesus, we are becoming who he is. And who he is now our new goal in life. Okay, let's look at a couple scriptures here. In the sound booth, we're going to just skip ahead to a couple here. Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10, 24. It says, a disciple is not a... 10:24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. So we are becoming like Jesus. He wants to lead us to a new life that we've never had before. Amen? So I think if you are raising children, you understand this, don't you? So yes, you want to take care of them. Yes, you want to provide for them. But you want them to grow up to be awesome, to be adults and to be able to handle the world and to be able to fulfill the destiny that God has for their life, okay? And then lastly and thirdly, Jesus wants to lead us to significance. Significance. And that is that... He wants our life to make a difference for someone else. And it seems as though a lot of times people feel like that a significant life is to be able to take a picture in front of my mansion. Hashtag life goals. Right? Friend, that is not significance. That is not significance. Now, I believe God wants you to be looked after. And if you've got six kids, he wants you to have a house that has enough for six kids. All right? Amen. You don't need three kids sleeping in one bed. Single bed, right? Okay. So God wants to take care of us. But really, significance is what we do to help other people. It's what we do to give our life away. And see, all the stuff... You've heard the saying, you can't take it with you, all right? And, you know, if you you had a Bentley and you were driving a Bentley and you left it behind, somebody else is going to be driving it, okay? So, if you've got a beautiful house and because you're a godly man, the house is in the name of you and your wife, and when you die, the relatives don't come and take your house. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to your life partner. Amen. That's what the Bible says. We're in covenant. All right. So, you know, my wife and I live in a house, but, you know, if I were to die and I'm in heaven rejoicing and everything, but maybe she gets remarried and there's another dude living in my house. Right? So that's not significance, is it? Okay. Don't. She just aside, she's already told me. She said, if you go to heaven before me, I don't think I'll get married. So she just knows it would be futile to look for anyone. So no, I think she would just enjoy the rest. Yeah. So, all right. Significance is giving your life away. You were designed to help other sheep. All right. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. His poema, the Greek word. We're his masterpiece. We're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. A car was designed to be driven. A bulldozer was designed to move earth. A plane was designed to fly. We were designed for good works. When did God do this? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And see, good works are those things that bless other people and then it glorifies God. Jesus said something one time, it's just kind of mind-boggling. He said, other people will see your good works and glorify God in heaven. They don't even give you a high five. You don't need a high five. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this to bless somebody else, and I'm doing this so that people will thank God because of what I just did. That's where the master, that's where the shepherd wants to lead you to. Amen. Yes, he's going to provide for you. Yes, he's going to help you grow up. And we're going to all come to a place of significance that our life is a major, major blessing and an impact for other people. And so, and we'll do what our shepherd did. What is that? We lay down our life. We lay down our life for somebody else. We sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Father, thank you so much that you gave us a good shepherd. You gave us Jesus, and he came for us, and we follow him. Father, thank you that as we follow him, we're becoming like him. Father, help us, Lord, every day, Father. Lord, the pull of the world, the pull of our flesh, the pull sometimes of areas of our mind that are not yet renewed. God, help us, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus yet, you can. He wants to be your Savior and Lord. He really is a good shepherd and he has good pastures for you. You will only find those things through him. Religion can't save you. Water baptism can't save you. Only Jesus Christ. And you need to pray a prayer. You need to believe something in your heart personally. I can't do that for you, but you can do that today. If you're far away from him, if you're a backslider, you've turned your back on God, today is the day to come home. He loves you and he'll wash and cleanse and make everything brand new. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to give Jesus my heart. I need to come home from that place of rebellion. Wherever you are right now, I want to pray with you. And so that we can, I'd ask you right now, just lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high and say, that's me. I'm giving my heart to Jesus Christ. Today, I'm following him. I'm accepting him as my Lord and my Savior. Anybody? He loves you so much. Thank you over here. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Before we pray. Thank you, ma'am. Everyone who lifted their hand or now you realize I should have. Everybody in the auditorium, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. And I'd ask you, those of you that lifted your hand, just come, grab your Bible and just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap. He's a good Jesus. You lift it up here. There's somebody over here. Amen. Just come. Sometimes we think, well, what are people going to think? We think you're so smart. We think you're so awesome. And we love you. Amen. Don't leave here without saying yes to Jesus. All right. Yeah, just come. It's all right. All right. Hey, let's do this. All right. And this isn't the ideal, but everybody, just put your hand on your heart. Put your hand on your heart. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I receive you. And I put my faith in you. You died for my sins. You are risen from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. You are my Lord.